The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the hole 6010. Fantasy Focus.
Week 5, we in here.
What was that?
Matthew Berry.
Wait, what was that?
That was my intro.
No, but we in here. What was that?
That was like, we in here, as in like, we're like, here to get it started.
Sort of like, was that some sort of attempt to be like cool and hip and like, you know, relate to the kids?
It was. So you know what I'm going to do, Matthew?
What's that?
I'm going to allow you the opportunity to retort with your own attempt to be cool and hip.
I don't attempt to do that. You know why? I stay in my lane. Everyone knows that. I think my coolness... I think my hipness, my coolness is because I know who I am, right? You know, I'm comfortable in my own skin.
You are? Who are you?
What do you mean, who am I?
Who are you? Like, how would you define yourself as you're sitting here trying to work to get your IFB plugged in?
Yeah, exactly.
Riveting, streaming, yeah, podcasting.
I'll say this. Oh, my gosh. What's going on here? There's nothing. I wish
I would describe myself as a man of the people.
Oh, yeah?
You know, as the people's favorite. As kind of a guy that is beloved by the masses.
Now define what you mean when you say people's favorite. Like, which people are you referring to? And when you say favorite, do you actually
anyone
mean favorite?
Anyone that listens to the show?
Like, are they like you more than me? Are they like you more than the mass? Like, than everybody? Do they like you more than Stefania?
Yes.
They like you more than Scott Van Pelt? Do they like you more than Rachel Nichols? Okay.
It's mostly just
very loosely defined. Me, Stefania, and you,
among the ESPN fantasy staff.
All right, here's what we're doing. On our Twitter handle, @FantasyFocus, we're putting out a poll that says, is Matthew Berry the people's favorite? Yes or no?
Wow. Yeah, there you go. I've got nothing else. There's literally nothing else
that
I've got.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's just like, it's not like, he's kind of a jerk, but we think he's really handsome. Like, it ain't that. Right,
you dress really well now.
I'm getting there.
You've stepped your game up.
I've tried to, but
you're looking sharp. Yeah.
No, listen, that's the people's champ is all I've got. It's really all I've got.
The people's champ, and you know what's better than being the people? Or I guess what's worse than being the people's champ?
What's that?
Being a Bengals fan.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
I have a story and a question.
Yes, sir.
So I had 3 fantasy matchups hanging in the balance going into Monday night.
Okay.
All right. One of them was probably the ugliest pillow fight ever between myself and Jeremy Lundblad, who works on the television show and is part of the Dynasty League.
That is correct.
Remember,
he is the producer of the fantasy show on ESPN Plus.
Expanded rosters. So scores tend to be higher in this league than lower.
Correct.
I was down 83.8 to like 62.1. Like, that's an abomination. Like, my team,
like,
Odell,
I lost in that league at 120 points.
Right. So I had Odell, Edelman, Kittle was on a bye, Brady had a tough week. He's my offensive player. So it was a tough week.
Yeah.
James Conner saved me, though. James Conner gives me...
It's a super flex league. It's a super flex league. It's a dynasty league. It's a 12-team.
Right.
Yeah,
there are a lot of players.
25-man rosters. Yep.
James Conner. So that one ended up working out in my favor.
Sure.
But the other two matchups were predicated upon Andy Dalton and Joe Mixon in one league, and then Joe Mixon and Tyler Boyd in the other league. In both cases, those two players came up short for my opponents. So did we have a reverse bone last night from the Bengals? What do we call this? How do we classify that? Because... I guess they got boned. What happened to me?
You got unboned.
Okay.
You got unboned. Look, here's the thing. When you count on the Bengals, they bone you. But you weren't counting on the Bengals. You were counting on the Bengals to bone their opponent. So, I mean, I guess if that's one thing they can do, they bone you. Everyone knows this. Like, I can't tell you how many times, like, when we do live events, when you and I go out on the road, when we hit the road and we take the 06010 live,
people's favorite. That's what we do.
This is what we do. It was certainly, by the way, if the reaction to the crowd is any indication, I'm the people's favorite.
Oh, fair? Come on. Give
Secret
me a scroll. Break.
Fair.
Daniel might be, actually.
Daniel
has some secret
people love people doing, love Secret Squirrel.
Yeah.
That's true. It's not Secret Squirrel. It's Secret Star is what it is. People love Daniel.
Look at how humble
you know what? That's
he is
actually
right
true.
Now.
I may have to renounce my People's Champ. People's Champ just compared to you. Literally, I think it's just that. I think it's just Field and Stefania. I think
you're the People's runner up. Nothing wrong with
there
that.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
you're
you
the,
go.
People's
the People's
runner up.
The People's runner up is great.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah, I'm the People's runner up. The People's handcuff.
You don't do a lot of running. You're just
the
runner
People's
up.
Handcuff. That's what it is. The People's like I guess he'll do.
Yeah. You know, like, could be worse.
Right. Like, I'm like their
consolation prize.
Yeah. Their safety school.
Yeah.
That's what I am. And they're like, I'm their safety school. I'm their safety host. They're like, eh, that's fine. All right. So, anyway, yes, when we go out on the road and we take the 06010 live, I cannot tell you there in every crowd, there's always multiple Bengals fans.
Right.
Somehow they're across the country, but I mean, you know, whether it's Baltimore, whether it's New York, whether it is Baltimore, wherever we go. Detroit.
I was going to say, Baltimore, New York.
I couldn't remember where we went. Baltimore, New York.
Baltimore, Maryland, whether we're in Baltimore.
Baltimore. Right. I always get people that come up to me or, I'll meet people at events or whatever. They come up, they recognize me and they'll come up and they say, you know what? I'm a Bengals fan. And you're so right. All they do is bone you.
Yeah, they boned last night.
I mean, on national television, they kind of boned ESPN.
I know.
Given how bad they were. Honestly, it was a tough game.
But I would argue
in your scenario, just to answer your question, is I believe they boned the people that were playing against you.
Okay.
Because those people were counting on the Bengals to beat you, and they were not able to. And what was a great matchup.
Right. It's been like amazing matchup for Tyler Boyd. The Steelers have been awful against the slot this year. Awful, miserable, dismal. Tyler Boyd, 3 catches, 33 yards. Joe Mixon against a soft Steelers defense had 15 carries for 62 yards. That's fine. This is the fun part, Matthew. He had 4 catches for 1 yard. Four for one. That's hard to do. It's hard to travel 0.25 yards per catch. That's less than a foot. Like Joe Mixon's footstep is literally larger than the distance gained on each of his 4 catches last night. So the Bengals disappointed in a massive way. Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd, John Ross had 3 catches. Andy Dalton had 3.6 fantasy points. They have a very good matchup coming up, Matthew. Very, very good matchup coming up against the Cardinals. My initial ranks had Andy Dalton and maybe even a couple of sleepers for the Bengals up higher than I normally would have them in my weekly rankings. Andy Dalton specifically, how could you, I don't care who the matchup is, how could you say with confidence, you know something? I'm throwing Andy Dalton into my lineup against the Cardinals this Sunday. Sounds good to me. No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound good. If you watch the game, it sounds terrible. How could you trust any Bengal right now?
Trust is a strong word.
Right.
Field Yates is what
you're
I would say.
You're looking for something.
I'm looking. I have notes on the Bengals somewhere that I made some notes before the show, and I can't figure out where I put them.
Okay.
I'm looking through my...
Are they right there?
No. Those are my Steelers notes.
Okay.
Actually, so I'm looking through them, and I have notes on the free agent fines that are coming up. So I'm sitting here and I don't have it on my.
I bet you threw them
thing.
Away.
I'll bet you Statterpiller took them when he left after the show meeting.
Maybe. Anyway, so I'll just.
Just look. What was the gist of them? That they stink?
Look. Here's the thing. They're bad against Monday Night Football. Like Andy Dalton. If you look at the numbers in primetime games for Andy Dalton on the road.
Yeah.
In primetime games, they're brutal. And so Andy Dalton, who I want to say off the top of my head is top 5 in the NFL in passing yards, even with last night's brutal performance.
Wow, that's scary.
But I believe that's
probably
correct.
True. It's probably true, but it's scary.
Thirsty Kyle?
It's probably true, but it's scary in any event.
Yes, giving, I do think he's a, I'm curious if he makes your waiver wire come because he is available in, you know, probably about 80% of leagues. He is playing Arizona. He's 6th in passing yards, Thirsty Kyle. All right, there you go. He's 6th.
6th, yeah.
The Red Rifle.
He even boned you on the staff right there.
Boned me on the staff. I have a bone, by the way, for people watching
you know
live
something, Matthew?
On the Twitter and the YouTube
you know something,
and all that.
Matthew?
Mm-hmm.
No, he did not make the waiver wire column for a weekly week 5 quarterback
standard
for 2 reasons. One, the 2 quarterbacks on a bye this week are Matthew Stafford and Josh Rosen. So you're not filling in necessarily for one of those two guys. 2, if you look at some of the most dominant defenses right now in the NFL, the teams that they're playing are not elite quarterbacks either, right? So, for example, you're not sitting your quarterback against the Bears because the Bears are playing Derek Carr.
Right.
You're not sitting your quarterback against the Patriots because the Patriots are playing the Redskins.
Right.
So there are some matchups this week.
So the elite defenses where you would normally sit a quarterback, you're not worried about it because you're not playing those guys unless you're in a 2-quarterback league, you're a deep league,
right.
Whatever, in which case
the quarterback
you may not
so
have an option.
That like you can't, like, I'm not benching Deshaun Watson even against the Jaguars, who have not been as good defensively this year.
This is
that
all
is
correct.
Part of the that's part of the thinking, and then also Matthew, like, why would we trust them? Why, like, I just
again
the offensive line's a disaster.
Trust is a strong word. Although I just here's the thing,
Chandler Jones.
I can't believe
seven sacks on
this
Sunday.
Is what sucks. I'm actually in a position where I'm about to defend Andy Dalton and the Bengals.
Ooh, are we recording right now or no?
It was a bad performance. There's no way around it. Like, they just stunk. Yeah. Like they ran into a they ran into a desperate team on the road. And look, the Red Rifle, he's brutal on the road in prime time. He just is. He always is. Right? Or for the most part, the majority of the time he is. So, like, there's concerns about that offensive line. There still are. But here's a guy that is passing at a very high rate in a good matchup. They're going to be 0-4. I do think Andy Dalton. I haven't done my rankings yet. I haven't done my rankings yet for the week, right? Yeah, they'll be out a little bit later today.
Yeah.
But my suspicion is that Andy Dalton, when all is said and done, will be a top 20 play for me this week.
He is for me as well.
Right, okay.
In part because, you know, by dint of the fact that just that there's, you know, there's only so many quarterbacks. I think I have him at 18, though, this week.
I'll probably have him a little bit higher than that, but I'll just say, like, I think he's going to be a viable, cheap DFS tournament play. We're spending too much time on Andy Dalton because who really cares? But I'm just going to say is I bet you he has a good game against Arizona. This is what Andy Dalton does. This is why the Bengals bone you. This is why they drive you crazy is because you're like, you see a game like that. You see it on national television. You're like, I'm out. This is awful. I'm out. And then you look up in 4 weeks and you're like, oh, they've put up huge numbers. Like, it's just because they're going to be in blowouts. They're going to be throwing again. For as bad as the Bengals have been, and they're 0-4, he's sixth in passing yards. And then it's without A.J. Green. Now, I think there's a couple of interesting things here that happened last night. And let's move off Andy Dalton and let's talk about Mixon and Tyler Boyd.
Okay.
What is your level of confidence with these two players going forward? Because these guys are fantasy stalwarts. These guys are no-brainer stardom every week guys. Have you changed your opinion on either one of these guys after last night?
No. Here's the reason why. For Joe Mixon, I had him, we all sort of evaluated him as somewhere between the 10th and about 15th best running back weekly going into the season, right? Maybe the optimistic view is he could be a top 10 play, but more reasonably, he was a 10 to 15 level player at the running back.
I think his ADP was probably in the 10 to 12 range. Okay. Eight to 12. I saw Mixon going high.
Sure. Okay, fine.
At some point, as the preseason went on and more concerns about the offensive line came out, he started to drop a little bit. But he was in the 8 to 12 range overall, would be my argument.
That being said, running back depth is terrible. So I still have Joe Mixon as a weekly top 20 or so play. As for Tyler Boyd, Matthew, I chalked last night up to, again, just a game that got away from the Bengals much more than anything else. Like, I still believe in Tyler Boyd, the player, and he probably could have had more opportunities last night. Like, that was just, it was just ugly. So I'm actually pretty steadfast in my belief in both of those players. Tyler Boyd will be a top 25 play in most weeks for me, and Joe Mixon will continue to be a top 20 running back play for me.
I'm nervous about Joe Mixon.
Okay.
So, look, I mean, you know, ran fine, you know, 15 for 62, 4.1, and in a pretty good matchup here. He caught 4 balls, 1 yard, but whatever. He got you four cheap points here, and, you know, but I will
average
tell you.
Average 9 inches a catch?
Yeah, I mean, like something insane.
Literally 9 inches a catch.
Well done. That's nice math there.
You're nervous.
I'm nervous. And I have a theory I want to run by you.
Okay.
Okay. After this week, they're playing the Cardinals.
Okay.
I think he has a good game against the Cardinals.
Let me guess what your theory is. Trade him.
Trade him. Now, I want to be very clear here, and I'll be very clear to our alerts team, all right? I'm not urging fantasy managers to trade Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
I'm not urging anyone to do this. I think it's a bad offensive line. I don't think it's getting better, right? He's already been banged up a little bit this year. He's a guy that was banged up last year as well. Here's our upcoming schedule.
Okay.
And it's not brutal, but it doesn't give you like a lot. It doesn't. So after the Cardinals, at the Ravens, and look, Nick Chubb just ran all over the Ravens, so I think the Ravens get it figured out a little bit more. Versus the Jaguars, you don't love that matchup. Versus the Rams, and, you know, the Rams' run defense has shown some cracks as well, but still, that's a game in which you expect them to be trailing significantly. And then they play the Ravens again. Then they're at the Raiders, and you think, oh, well, the Raiders. But listen, playing at the Black Hole, like, that's not an easy.
What week is that?
That is week.
Okay, at least. Okay, 11, 7. Okay,
week
I
10.
Was thinking this might have been part of the Raiders' long schedule. It's
week 10.
Okay, so that
week
is 10, in Oakland. Okay,
then home to the Steelers, home to the Jets, at the Browns, home to the Patriots. Fantasy playoffs. Here's their fantasy playoffs for Joe Mixon. Okay? At Browns, home to the Patriots, at Dolphins. You like that? Home to the Browns.
Yeah, so 3 out of 4
okay.
You like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
3 out of 4 you like. I mean, the Browns have been struggling to defend the run this year. The Patriots have not. The Dolphins
have been, but I guess my feeling is that in all these games, it's just how much you. Here's my question. How much usage do you believe Joe Mixon gets in the passing game? Because we saw some Giovanni Bernard last night. Again, to your point, you made a joke, but it's serious. He gained 0.9 yards a catch. He got four receptions.
He gained 9 inches a catch.
9 inches a catch. So, yes. Sorry.
0.25 yards. Inches a catch.
9 inches a catch. So I'm just saying, like, in games in which, other than the Dolphins, like, I think the Browns will be better offensively. So they're going to get blown up by the Browns. They're going to get blown out by the Patriots. So in games in which they're getting blown out, in games in which they're playing good offenses, how much usage does Joe Mixon get? My argument is this. You feel free to disagree with me. My argument is this, is that I am nervous about Joe Mixon and that I believe that after the Cardinals game in week 5, that his value will be at the highest it will be all season long.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the idea that that's probably his best matchup going forward. And if he has a great matchup, but you can get commensurate value of an RB2, then I'm good with it.
Yeah, see, and I think he was drafted as an RB1. That's my point. So, again, I'm not urging people to draft to trade him, but I would say I think you should consider it. I think I would be open to the idea because I am genuinely nervous about Joe Mixon returning value behind that offensive line and given the struggles of that defense.
For those that pounded the over of 17 minutes of Bengals talk, you win. Let's move on to the Steelers, and the Steelers had a get-back-on-track offensive performance and a very different-looking offense last night compared to what we saw in week 3. It was clear. It was simplify things for Mason Rudolph and use Jalen Samuels because they had basically...
Like, I feel like if I was ever made to be an NFL quarterback, like, that's the offense they would run for me.
Seriously. So for those
who may
have
missed it... Listen, Barry's not particularly bright. He's the people's favorite. He got voted in somehow. He's the people's runners-up. He got voted in somehow. So we got to use him. But just can we make it as dumb and simple as possible?
So James Conner had 8 catches last night plus a touchdown. And I'm not trying to say that his fantasy success was predicated only upon this, but it was boosted by the fact that... I did not count the specific number, but I would guess the Steelers ran what is essentially called a tap pass 6 times, where one player motions across the formation, and just before he reaches the center, the ball is snapped. The quarterback, which in some cases was Jalen Samuels,
correct,
literally just takes the ball and bunts it forward to that guy that was in motion.
It to the guy in front. It travels maybe 6 inches, but it counts as a pass and a reception.
Right. So for James Conner, that if he had 3 options last night, or 3 of those, like that's 3 additional fantasy points.
I went into last night needing 8 points from James Conner to win in the War Room League. And like I think I got that just from those tap passes. Like on that first drive, I was like, oh, this works out. Oh, this is super cheap. Like, again, James Conner made me a little bit nervous last night. I mean, you know, like, again, like, if you just looked at the numbers, you're like, oh, great. Finally a big game for James Conner. He's now running back 12 on the season. We're good. But that offensive line did not play well. They had to manufacture stuff. They had to pull out, I don't want to say trick plays, but you don't see that jet sweep, that tap pass play 10 times in a game, which is what I felt like we saw it last night.
Well, it's going to be hard for them to continue to do
right.
that because teams are going to have a very good sense of what's coming. So they either have to insert a counterpunch, like, hey, they fake the tap pass and then Jalen Samuels maybe throws a pass or something like that. But I think it's fair. I think it was a great spot for James Conner, and he executed on that great spot. So I think, you know, generally speaking, you're waking up today with more ease than you had the first 3 weeks with James Conner. But
see,
I think
I don't know that I feel that way. I mean, I guess, listen, I'm happy that he had a good fantasy game, but first off, this was a true running back by committee. Jalen Samuels was out there a decent amount. Like one of the arguments coming into the season was that James Conner, the volume's going to be insane for James Conner. And I was leading that bandwagon. I mean, so I was on that as well. Like I thought initially, like in late July, early August, we heard some rumblings. Oh, this might be a running back by committee. They drafted Blake Snell, right? They drafted Benny Snell. They want to involve Jalen Samuels, who was good down the stretch last year. This could be a running back by committee. And then through the preseason, the Steelers did a good job of sort of clamping down on that and saying, like, no. Like,
it's James' job.
It's going to be James Conner. And so he's a guy that went in the top 10. I got him at pick 16 in the War Room League. And the reaction on Twitter was, oh, my God, I can't believe you got James Conner at 16 in any kind of league. That's insane. Okay. And then you look at this. Okay. So Jalen Samuels had 2 red zone touches. James Conner had 0 last night. James Conner has no more than 13 carries in a game this season. He has yet to have 45 rushing yards in a game.
That part's a little bit skewed because, again, those tap passes are sort of runs, right? So, like, if you take half the yardage, half of the 83 yards, and make that rushing yards. It's like an 80-yard rushing game, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I just felt like when I watched it, it felt like coming into the game, coming into this game last night,
yep.
the Bengals were had given up the second most rushing yards per game and the sixth most yards per carry. Like, this was a bad run defense field. And then they came in and, like, you just watched that game and James Conner was running through the line and couldn't get separation, couldn't get any holes. Like, the only way he could get free is, again, on, like, sort of these, I don't want to say they're trick plays, but, again, like, to your point, you're not going to be able to count on the, you know, James Conner coming in motion and getting a quick tap pass, for, whether it's from Mason Rudolph or Jalen Samuels, and getting that as for positive yardage six times a game like he did last night, whatever the number was. Like you're going to be able to do that once or twice a game. But that's about it. Like, so now, basically, your argument, your pro-James Conner argument after last night is that they don't want Mason Rudolph throwing down the field, that all they want him to do is dinking and dunking, and that's going to benefit James Conner. To me, that's the only pro-James Conner argument after last night.
Yeah, and the volume. The volume should continue to be pretty good. Like, 15 to 20 touches easily per game, and some weeks where it's going to be closer to 22 to 25.
He played 36 snaps. Samuels played 26. Snell played just 6, but each of them had, like, the exact same number of touches, I believe. And, by the way, when this game was within 7 points, because it got sort of to a blowout there in the second half, but when this game was within a touchdown, Jalen Samuels actually touched the ball 14 times, Conner just 13.
Again,
like, that's a committee.
But some of that still is, like, they had him running that, whatever you want to call it,
wildcat.
So
it was
a goofy game. So I am less concerned than you are about James Conner, although you did bet me about him versus Leonard Fournette for the rest of the season. But Jalen Samuels, I'm actually, that's
I'm worried about that bet. You want to switch that bet?
No, no, thanks. Jalen Samuels, kind of interesting. He actually made the waiver wire column upon the, I do a Monday, a Tuesday morning refresh. And Jalen Samuels, this might be legit. I know it was Mark Cabali, from Pittsburgh, who covers the Steelers for the Athletic, basically saying, like, I think it was after the 0-2 start, if they are going to get this team right, here are 5 players that basically need to play more. And primary amongst them was Jalen Samuels.
Sure.
Guy who's talented, guy who's versatile, guy who's dependable. And we saw last night, he's useful as well. I think this is a sign of something that we're going to see much more of. Not at the, you know, at 10, the behest.
10 for 26 and a touchdown, although it's worth noting that the touchdown run came on, once again, one of those wildcat plays. Like,
sure.
They didn't, Conner was on the field and they did the jet sweep and then, and he didn't hand it to him. I guess it's a form of an RPO in essence, like, you know, right?
Oh, I mean, he's going to throw a pass at some point.
Yeah.
Throw a pass.
And he ran it in for the touchdown, but 8 for 57 and he 3 completions
right.
for 31 yards. Again, those tap passes count as completions.
Some points there. So
Jalen Samuels, absolutely.
I
would agree with that.
Potential to be a flex play, especially in deeper leagues, maybe right away in deeper leagues, maybe more than that.
Is he your number one waiver guy?
It was a weird week for waivers.
Among running backs, I should say, because to me, it's like it's him, it's Ronald Jones.
Yeah, I had Ronald Jones first.
You have Ronald Jones higher.
Yeah, but I mean, I could be talked into either way.
I would say this: if I had James Conner and for some reason didn't have Jalen Samuels,
make that change right now.
I would prefer to roster Jalen Samuels over Ronald Jones. You know, because not only is there flex play worthiness there, there's obviously the benefit of a handcuff should something happen to Conner. Remember, he got banged up 2 weeks ago. He got banged up in this game last night as well, came back fairly soon afterwards. But still, it's just, you know, he's also got injured last year as well. It's worth noting. So I agree with you. Samuels needs to be rostered in a lot more leagues.
More so than any player that played last night. The guy that I'm nervous about, I think, is Juju Smith-Schuster.
Sure.
3 catches for 15 yards. And
he's wide receiver 39 this year, Fields.
Wide receiver 39 through one quarter of the season. And I know that it was the second start, of Mason Rudolph's NFL career. And a lot of the short passes that we saw, and I believe exactly half of Mason Rudolph's throws were caught at or behind the line of scrimmage, that I think some of it, Matthew, was merely developing confidence for Mason Rudolph, simplifying things, getting him into a rhythm. 90% of the game is played between the ears. But the vertical passing game is not going to be nearly the same with Mason Rudolph as it was with Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, I get it. That's kind of a duh comment, but still.
No, last night, Mason Rudolph averaged 3.5 air yards per target. 3.5. That is a league low.
Yep.
And the combination of James Conner and Jalen Samuel saw 16 of 31 targets. Over half the targets went to the running backs. both of them had a negative average depth of target. And so Juju Smith-Schuster, His target share with Mason Rudolph so far this year, 23.3%. Last year, with Antonio Brown on the team, Juju Smith-Schuster had a 24.6% target share. He's actually getting less targets without AB on the team with Mason Rudolph under center.
It's
that has
remarkable.
To make you nervous.
Of course it makes you nervous. And if you're asking what can you do, this is something that we talk about, and we hate to not be able to give you better advice. But we were having this conversation, I believe, with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen yesterday, is that, like, right now, you don't have a ton of options because you can't trade him for anything close to what you invested in Juju, which may have been a top 15 pick, right? Or certainly a top 2-round pick. And he may be he may have entered the year as your wide receiver one.
I can't imagine that he didn't.
Yeah,
and in most leagues, I would think most people...
Many leagues he did not, right. Or he was
the number one wide receiver for a team that drafted him. And I saw him go as a late first rounder
right.
in some leagues.
So
and,
what you cannot do right now is you can't cut bait, obviously. You can't trade him for anything people are going to want. Like, you're not going to trade him for something valuable. I think for right now, you're stuck between... You're in the fantasy rock and a hard place situation. You have to hope it gets better because he's really talented, and that the Steelers used last night, as I was saying, to merely build the confidence of Mason Rudolph, and that going forward, they're going to be more vertically inclined, and the passing game will look closer to what it has in previous years than what it did last night. That's the confidence for Juju.
Would you consider, so they play the Ravens next week.
Yep.
And so the Ravens secondary has been, you know, has really struggled, although you would expect Marlon Humphrey to be a shadow on Juju.
Next week.
We'll see. You know, Mike Clay always does a great job with his wide receiver cornerback matchup. So I strongly encourage you guys to read that this week. I believe, so I would encourage you to read that. And Mike will be on the show tomorrow, so you can talk about that as well. But then they're at the Chargers.
Yep.
Which that secondary has underperformed somewhat this year, but certainly it's not a great matchup. Then he plays the Dolphins at home. On ESPN and Monday Night Football, baby.
Let's go, baby.
So maybe he sees some Xavier Howard in that one. I mean, like, then he's home against the Colts, home against the Rams, at the Browns, at the Bengals again. Like, wow. I guess my point is would you consider, if he has a big game against the Ravens, you know, or the Chargers.
So the same thing for Joe Mixon?
Same thing with Joe Mixon. Like, would you consider, like, the minute he has, like, a big game and you sort of get that, because he's too talented not to. Like, he'll have a big run. He'll have a long out run after the catch. Like, they'll figure out a way to get him the ball.
It's less simple for me than Joe Mixon because wide receivers are more plentiful. And
sure.
Like, it may be less perilous to your roster to have Juju in there every week than it could be for Joe Mixon. But I understand the point. I don't think it's the worst idea in the world.
I'm just, you and I are both legitimately nervous for Juju Smith-Schuster. A lot of times they have a bad game and you're like, he's a stud. He'd be fine. Like DeAndre Hopkins,
yep.
Bad game on Sunday. He's DeAndre Hopkins. He's going to be fine even though he's been bad for the last couple of weeks. Juju makes us nervous because of the way this offense and Mason Rudolph are playing.
Last thing here on this game. Fantasy Trends are brought to you by TD Ameritrade and Deontay Johnson. He of board bet fame. 6 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
He was also added to the waiver wire column. Now, it should be noted that on the 43-yard touchdown that he scored, he was wide open. And if you watched the play again last night, like, no one was anywhere close to him. The ball was not high. And he jumped. Like, I think he was trying to drop that pass.
He accidentally hit the Y button, I think is what it was.
Yeah, like, he jumped for a ball that was, like, going to fall right into his arms. He caught it. He scored the touchdown. That's good. But since he was declared the starter by himself 2 weeks ago, he's got 6 targets in back-to-back games and a touchdown in back-to-back games. So, if you're playing in a deeper league...
And he fumbled last night, too, by the way.
Right, he fumbled. That's why he jumped, because he was...
Nervous.
He wanted to sort of bear hug the football before it hit the ground. So, an interesting player just because of the Steelers' track record of making smart investments in wide receivers in the draft. Back-to-back games with 6 targets. The fact that James Washington seems to be nothing more than a vertical decoy. And Dante Moncrief's not part of the passing game anymore.
Yeah.
And for right now, he could return next week.
Yeah, I noticed on Twitter yesterday, you asked me, you said you needed 42.5 points.
41.5.
Yeah. 42.1 points in a half
42.1,
point.
42.1,
yeah. In a half point PPR from Dante Moncrief.
I came just a little bit.
Just short. A little short on
just
that.
Just a little short.
Yeah,
on that
a little short.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's all right. I'm 3-1 in that league now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no big deal. All right. Tons of talk right there on the Steelers and the Ravens.
Deontay Johnson worth rostering, but...
Yes.
But like, don't break the bank. Like, I think jury's still out on whether he's going to be a useful fantasy asset.
Jury's still out on that on that passing game, basically what
it's saying. Yeah, I mean, in a massive way, which in theory should help James Conner. Like, again, to me, that's the argument. The pro-James Conner argument is it's going to be a short passing game and volume, to your point. But there are some warning signs. A
little bit of news here in regards to Week 5, and we'll talk about this more once we get into practice and have more context from the head coach. But Davante Adams is iffy for Week 5. He left that game last Thursday because of a toe issue against the Eagles on Thursday night. He sounds, again, unlikely to play in Week 5, which would open the door to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Matthew, but also Geronimo Allison, who will also be on the waiver wire GOM. He's prominently featured, as a matter of fact. It feels like, Matthew, if Adams does not play this week, to me at least, Geronimo Allison has a case as the most valuable one-week add in fantasy just because of the fact that he should be an every-down player in a passing offense that, you know, the Cowboys are good defense.
They are.
But relative to some of the defenses the Packers have played this year, like, it seems like a fairly reasonable matchup for them. Like, this is not the Bears or teams they've seen, or the Vikings who they've seen, and even the Broncos who played them tough defensively in their Week 2 matchup.
And Allison has scored in a couple of those. I mean, you know, so like, I would agree with that. So look, he ran 46 routes in Week 4. So you like that. You certainly like to see that. When he has gotten four or more targets, right? He's a guy that's averaging over 12 fantasy points per game, and especially if Davante Adams is out of this game, the expectation would be he's going to get at least four targets in this game. So, yeah, I mean, like, so Geronimo Allison, who, you know, had, I believe, 3 for 52 and a touchdown last week.
Yep.
You know? Yes, I would
think piece.
Usable piece certainly would be a top 30 wide receiver against the Cowboys if no Davante Adams.
And we don't know any more than what we know for right now on his Week 5 status for Adams. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a prolonged absence, even if he does miss Week 5. We're going to come back and discuss more names that make the waiver wire, a few more players that sort of are there just because they fell off the radar as opposed to them having sort of worked their way up to the 50% rostership threshold. But before we do that, a quick word from the Fantasy Show.
He's Field Yates.
All right, Matthew, time now for some waiver wire. So I'm going to allow you grab the Johnny Carson mic and play host for the rest of this segment.
Good hip reference that the kids definitely enjoy and
I
understand.
I heard you say
like
that one time.
Just, you know what? Like, I mean, here's the guy that's just like, what did he say at the top of the show?
We in here.
He didn't say here. He said here.
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 And then you drop it. Like, literally, does anyone in the back room, Kyle, you're like under 30. Have you ever heard of Johnny Carson? Do you have any reference to what that is?
Heard of him, yes. Any reference? No.
Like, do you know what he is or what he did? Or
no, I know he's a person that I should know, but I don't know what he's done.
There you go. Exactly.
Really good reaction right there from Kyle.
I mean, but by the way, it's true. Like, I mean, like, you joke about me, but like, that's a much older reference than even me. Anyway, Field All Yates, right. You are the author of Free Agent Finds, available now on ESPN.com. I'm a company man. And a trendy preseason sleeper who is somewhat disappointed, but suddenly he makes your waiver wire column if you have some needs at wide receiver and Geronimo Allison is gone, Field.
Yeah, so Corey Davis was a player that I stumbled upon this week for the waiver wire finds. What I mean by that, Matthew, is there's no way Corey Davis is available in over 50% of leagues, right? Wrong. Corey Davis is available in about 52.6% of leagues. He had 5 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown over the weekend. Am I telling you that you need to pick up Corey Davis and start him week to week?
Are you?
I am telling you, no, I'm not telling you that. But what I am saying is
you're
just I'm not urging fantasy managers to start Corey Davis this week, but I will say that there are players with decidedly less value who are rostered on benches right now and somewhat nonsensically, right? Like, so soon enough, we're going to be in the weeks where we have 6 teams on a bye.
Sure.
And Marcus Mariota, for all of his inconsistencies prior to this year, has played okay. He has not turned the football over yet. We've seen Corey Davis have a big game. We've seen A.J. Brown have 2 big games. Like, just roster Corey Davis because of the target share, the talent, and the fact that depth gets thinned really quickly once we get into bye weeks.
Here's a question that I think a lot of people would have, because they see 2 touchdowns from A.J. Brown in that same game that you referenced where Corey Davis, you know, had 91 yards and a score. You prefer Corey Davis to A.J. Brown if you're rostering a Titans pass catcher.
I do. Because I think talent-wise, he's more talented. I know A.J. Brown's been awesome, but Corey Davis, more talented player. And wow.
I don't know if I agree with that, by the
really?
Way.
Really?
I think A.J. Brown, especially now, he's young. Mm. He's not as experienced as Corey Davis. I think A.J. Brown is really special. Mm, I think he has a chance to be very, very
Corey,
special.
Corey Davis could be ridiculous.
Listen,
the guy's
free both
beast.
These guys. Both, right. both these guys should not be on the Titans. But I agree with that. I was going to say is that it's not that Corey Davis isn't talented, because I agree. Corey Davis on another team with a better quarterback is an absolute beast. But I don't know. I think I'm a big A.J. Brown fan.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't think it's as definitive as you make it, okay. is all I would say.
Fair enough. I think it is, but anyways.
Got it. Fair yeah. enough. We disagree there, but we do agree that he's somebody that should be rostered in more leagues and is getting
just
a
get
significant
him over the 50%. I don't have to write about it anymore.
There
I don't want
go.
Like, there's no need field, to have him on the column.
Some of this field is just about, like, I'm sick of trying to find ways
this
to
all about
talk
me.
Up
it's
Corey
about
Davis.
Me.
Taking a page out of my book. I
That's
like
right.
that as well. All right. So, running back is always a dicey proposition, and it's kind of a thin week at running
it
back,
is. It's
but
really
there
bad week.
Is a guy that could be a starter for a pretty good offense out there.
Yeah, so Ronald Jones has at least 70 rushing yards in 3 out of 4 games so far this season. He had more snaps than Peyton Barber for the first time ever in a game this past Sunday when
yeah.
they played the Rams. And
significantly more.
Yeah, and it was a good encouraging sign for Ronald Jones. He actually had a couple of big plays taken off the board because of penalty as well. Over the past 2 weeks, he has out-touched Peyton Barber 35-24, and he's got nearly 130 more total yards than Peyton Barber. It may not be a full-on changing of the guard, but it's at least trending that way right now, and I would add Ronald Jones to stash him unless and until that happens, because I think there is a chance, if not a very good one, that it happens at some point in Tampa Bay.
And we talked about this a little bit on yesterday's show as well, in that, look, at some point, forgetting stats for a second, at some point you just sort of bet on talent. And you and I both agree, Peyton Barber, just a guy.
Just
no
a
disrespect
guy.
To Peyton Barber,
yeah.
but just a guy. And there is a reason why Ronald Jones was drafted in the second round out of USC and was thought highly of coming out of college. That when the Buccaneers drafted him in the second round, there wasn't a bunch of head-scratching going like, that guy,
Ronald
really?
Jones? Yeah.
There was a lot of people like, oh, that makes sense. Like, he's a talented prospect that
sure.
people like. So there's potential with Ronald Jones that we don't think is necessarily there with Peyton Barber.
Agreed.
Let's talk about another running back in not a good offense, but a great offense.
Right. The best offense in football remains Kansas City, and Darrell Williams could continue to be the co-starter along with LeSean McCoy if Damian Williams is out. Damian Williams has not practiced at all the past 2 weeks. Now, it's Tuesday, so we have not yet had a Chiefs practice for this week, but if he doesn't practice at all this week, another indication he won't play on Sunday night. Darrell Williams, who over the past 2 weeks has 17 carries for 75 yards, plus 8 catches for 90 yards. Now, he had a very inefficient week this past week. I believe it was 8 carries for 13 yards,
right, yeah,
plus 2 touchdowns. And
that's efficient.
Maybe it was just because of, maybe, I don't know why, but at the end of last week, they needed a touchdown. And they needed a short touchdown, and it was Darrell Williams who carried the football, not LeSean McCoy, which part of me would think that, like, in terms of passing game acumen, LeSean McCoy is, like, as talented as Darrell Williams in the passing game. Perhaps the reason why Williams was playing in two-minute drill was because he's been there longer and knows the offense better.
Correct.
But still, when they needed to finish, and the Lions took a timeout at when the Chiefs had the ball at the one-yard line.
Yeah.
So Kansas City had the chance to both reset, rest, and decide who they wanted in the game. They chose Darrell Williams. So goal line carries can be golden.
Have heard that, by the way, is that they are more comfortable right now in terms of pass protection and understanding the assignments with Darrell Williams than LeSean McCoy, again, who has just been there a few weeks. So
cool.
I do think that is part of it. But again, they gave the ball to him. They gave him the goal line carry, and he converted, and they won the game. So I would agree with you. I think that if Damian Williams is out, it will once again be the LeSean McCoy and Darrell Williams show. And so, as we saw last week, half of the running back touches for the Kansas City Chiefs can be very, very valuable. I want to ask you one quick question here. If I'm out there searching for a running back, and Jordan Howard, who's rostered in 56% of leagues, so he doesn't make
is
the
available.
Threshold,
yeah.
but he's still out there in almost 50% of leagues, coming off the 3-touchdown game, where would Jordan Howard rank for you among him, Ronald Jones, Darrell Williams, if he were available in your league?
Probably first.
First, yep.
Because all these guys are talking about, like, in Darrell Williams' case, Damian Williams returns and bye-bye. Ronald Jones' case, it's he's got to beat somebody else out for the job. Jordan Howard is already playing a ton, and, again, he has that Darrell Williams factor in that he's going to finish drives. touchdowns can be there. Mm-hmm. And both of us believe in that Philadelphia team.
Sure.
And their schedule gets easier going forward. Not, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say they, like, the schedule gets easier going forward, not more difficult, for the Eagles. Now, I could have totally botched that part, but still, I trust the Eagles enough to believe that Jordan Howard's going to be good for them going forward.
So it gets tougher and then it gets easier.
JK.
So it's, they play the Jets this week.
Nice. I'll take that
right,
one.
Right.
Yep.
Then they're at the Vikings.
Yep.
At the Cowboys.
Okay, so two tough.
At the Bills.
Tough.
Home to the Bears.
Yep, tough.
Home to the Patriots.
Tough. You're telling me you're noticing something. Yeah, I totally botched
then,
that one.
Then home to the Seahawks at the Dolphins. Then it gets much easier. Just something to keep in mind, like if you could stash Jordan Howard, like if you don't really need him necessarily, so you don't love him in any of those matches other than
the
Jets.
I avoid to put him on the Cobb, not because of the fact that he's available in only 44% of leagues.
But then home to the Seahawks at the Dolphins, home to the Giants at the Redskins, home to the Cowboys at the Giants. So he ends with an amazing schedule there over the second half of
Keith
the year.
Keith has a quick question for
yes,
us.
Yes, sir. Not cool, Keith.
It's a Jordan Howard-related question from Dano on the chat here. And he says, I'm receiving multiple offers for Jordan Howard. I want to sell, but it's hard. I'm assuming because of the depth at running back. He says, what should he do?
Yeah, I'm certainly open to selling him.
We just read the schedule right there.
We just read the schedule. Yeah. Listen, they like Miles Sanders in Philadelphia. Now, they don't like him enough to give him the full workload. Like, to your point, Jordan Howard's still going to be involved.
Maybe they never will.
Right.
We're now into, year four of Doug Peterson?
He likes a running back by committee.
And that's just, he's not alone.
Has.
A lot of coaches do feel that way. So
absolutely.
Maybe we should just abandon hope it'll ever happen.
Yeah. So, I would, if I had Jordan Howard, I would want a top 25 player. I would want either a top 12-ish tight end, but probably a wide receiver somewhere in the 20 to 25 range.
That's fair. Yeah, I think I would aim even higher on tight ends because there are so few you trust, but I would say that's about fair.
But if ever there was a time to trade Jordan Howard, it's off the 3-touchdown game,
right?
And before the season starts and you're just looking ahead and you're saying, oh, the Jets, Jordan Howard off
you
the 3-touchdown game, he should be going to, he gets the Jets, yeah.
All right, one more here. Jacoby Brissett, Colts quarterback. 31.2% roster ship right now.
Yes, sir.
He's got multiple passing touchdowns in every game this season. He's the only quarterback in the NFL to throw multiple touchdown passes in all four games this year.
Wow.
How about that? Kyle draws an interesting comparison. He looks a lot like Philip Rivers last season, who finished as quarterback 11. 2018 Rivers through week four. Multiple touchdown passes in all four games. 7.5% touchdown percentage. On target with nearly 85% of his passes. Fast forward a year, Jacoby Brissett also went to NC State through week four. Multiple touchdown passes in all four games. 7.2% touchdown pass percentage and on target with 86% of his passes. He plays the Chiefs this week. They go on a bye, but at the Chiefs, you like that. And then home to Houston and Denver. I know Denver can be good, but I don't think they nearly scare you in the way that they used to over the past couple of years,
especially
with Bradley Chubb and Bradley Chubb now out for the year because
correct.
Of an ACL there. Jacoby Brissett, a worthwhile quarterback to pick up. Time now for a crappy promo.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all about me promo.
And I'm going to call an audible here.
Okay.
Because normally the crappy promo is all about me, as you just heard. But I would like to make this all about Field Yates.
What?
Because your sister, Caddy, who is a friend of the show,
that's
Caddy
right.
Yates,
yep.
Of course, we all love Caddy, the lawyer Caddy Yates, is actually doing something very noble. And we want to point this out to everyone. Why don't you tell everyone about the fundraiser that Caddy is participating in?
People may be aware of what is called Haymakers for Hope. It's an organization that raises money to fight cancer. And how they do so is they host charity boxing events.
Right.
I don't know quite the frequency. Let's call it every couple of months or so. And they do it in a variety of cities. Boston is one of their hub cities. And you find people that have basically, in some cases, zero experience or exposure to boxing whatsoever. And they dedicate their lives to both boxing and fundraising for 6 months, which is what Caddy decided to do.
Wow.
And so she, over the past 6 months, has been training like crazy for her event, which is October 9th, next Wednesday, actually at the House of Blues, a very cool venue in downtown Boston. Part of it is not just training, but also, of course, fundraising. And so my sister had an initial goal of $7,500.
Sure.
And then you know what she did?
What's that?
She crushed it like a grape.
Of course she did.
$7,500. Are you kidding me? No sweat whatsoever. So instead, $25,000, the amended goal that she decided to make a last push. about 10,000 bucks short. And you know something? We ask a lot of the 06010 listeners.
We do.
And they have dedicated incredibly generously to the V Foundation many times over in the past. Just like the V Foundation, we are always in on fighting against cancer, and that is what Haymakers for Hope does. The support would be appreciated. If you feel inclined to donate, you can go to my Twitter page, where it is now my pinned tweet. The link is, you can Google Caddy Yates, Haymakers for Hope. It's easier to just tell you to do one of those two things.
Go to @FieldYates on Twitter, his pinned tweet right there. So if you'd like to donate. And so is she going to actually, she's going to fight. So Caddy Yates is getting into the ring.
Yes. And so
do we know anything about her opponent?
I just know her name. That's about it. I think, I don't know. Part of me is like, I don't want to know too much about this person because I don't like, you know, the more I know two people fighting, more
it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, sure, it's uncomfortable.
But we're all listening. I'm sure whoever she's fighting is also a wonderful person who's entering this, you know.
Yeah. So I saw a practice fight for Caddy, but she did like a, you know, an exhibition fight a couple weeks ago. Wow.
Yeah?
Not that, I mean, like, you know, we're siblings, we had bantering. We never fought growing up. But I would not even come close.
Well, listen, you played college sports. Like, the Yates family is athletic.
Caddy would beat me up, though, for sure.
100%. Yes. Well, I would take Caddy 10 out of 10 in a fight with you two. Because here's the other thing. Like, Caddy, and like, luckily I have a very good relationship with Caddy.
Right.
But Caddy's got a mean streak. I can tell. Like, Caddy's like, you know, like,
she's a lawyer.
If you cross Caddy,
she's tenacious.
Watch out.
That's right.
100%. So, I think when she gets into the ring, like, you know, there's obviously hope already, but there's going to be some haymakers.
Yeah, there's going to be plenty of haymakers. So if you do feel inclined, you can head over to my Twitter page and you can see the link there. It is part of my pinned tweet. Seriously, your generosity is greatly, greatly appreciated. Now, let me tell you about hiring, because hiring can be a slow process.
Yeah, it can.
Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants.
Yeah, he was.
So he switched to ZipRecruiter.
He did?
ZipRecruiter, he did. Well, here's the thing. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. So what they did is they use their technology, which identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he got great candidates to apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employees who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. One more time for the people in the back, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Not cool.
Should be Caddy's pump-up song right there.
I'm pumped up. I'm ready to go.
If that doesn't make you want to fight. So Thomas wants to know.
Hold on. It's just so opposite. Like, we come out of this rocking song, and Keith is like,
if that doesn't make you want to fight.
Eeyore.
Yeah, exactly.
Eeyore. It's like Eeyore, right? Yeah.
That was my Billy D. Williams.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Sorry.
By the way, Eeyore, good company man reference. Nice
Ooh,
job.
Nice
That's
job.
Right. That's right.
So we got some questions here.
Hey, Thirsty Kyle, do you know who Eeyore is?
I've got Eeyore. I was going to chime in, and I didn't want to, you know, come across the wrong way, but I definitely know Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
All right, there you go. Exactly. Good job.
Looks
there you go.
Like
That's
rain.
Right.
That was good. That
pretty
was good.
Good. That was pretty good.
So Thomas wants to know, should he cut Miles Sanders for a handcuff or hold out hope that he works his way into a greater role eventually?
Who Ooh. Else? I mean, to me, that's one of those, like, who else do you have? Because it's like one of those things that, like, if he had a couple running backs where you're like, you know what? You're never starting Miles Sanders. I'd rather have the handcuff. But if you're, like, sitting there sifting through for a couple of people.
My guess, though, is that most people are not in that situation.
I would agree.
They're not so deep that they can just sit there and let Miles Sanders collect dust without any penalty whatsoever. Generally speaking, I would keep Miles Sanders over a handcuff. Unless it was, again, great depth and you needed an Alexander Mattison to your Dalvin Cook.
Daniel's right on you with that. You just said the same thing. Nick wants to know what your expectations are the rest of the way for Kyler Murray.
I think he will be better. Look, this is a team.
Yeah.
I like Kyler Murray. I think the kid is talented. Now, I may amend this. Like, we're waiting to find out kind of if Christian Kirk is hurt in a significant way. He left the game with an injury, and we just know he was banged up. We don't know anything more on that. Stefania will have more on that. But I was encouraged by the running. I've encouraged by the running more recently for Kyler Murray. It's a team that throws a lot.
Yep.
They're bad. So he's been a, like, I don't know where he ranks right now. My guess is he's a top 14 fantasy quarterback so far through the season. And I think he creeps up a little bit more. So I think he gets better fantasy-wise as the season goes on.
My guess is that maybe he has a chance to finish as a top 10 quarterback in points by the end of the year.
Yeah.
What I worry about is that I was hopeful that maybe he'd have more elite weeks this year because of his legs. And it seems like although they were more interested in getting him carries, we saw him rush for a touchdown last week, it's not going to be a Lamar Jackson situation last year where he's running the football maybe between 12 and 15 times without breaking a sweat in most weeks. So I do believe there's a chance that he finishes a top 10 quarterback, but there is less elite upside week to week than I expected going into the season.
I think that's fair. By the way, actually, I just sort of pulled that out of him, but apparently he is exactly QB14. So here's one for the kid. But I think that's right. I think he's an upper tier QB2 with a chance to be a lower tier QB1.
Yep.
But I would agree there's probably less upside with him than there is with some others. But in terms of who's out there on the waiver wire,
I mean,
there's no one that you feel like, you know, there's, you know, I'm trying to think of like somebody.
Jacoby Brissett, that's about it.
Jacoby Brissett, right. So those are my expectations. I do think he will be better fantasy-wise than he's been so far. And he's been usable so far. He hasn't been what you hoped he would be. Lamar Jackson has been what you would hoped he would be.
And
but,
more.
But, and yeah, no question. But I think he will, I do think he'll get better in terms of my expectations. He's a rookie and look, it's a fantasy-friendly offense where he's having to throw a lot and they're starting to use him more in the running game.
But I'm less convinced on it being a fantasy-friendly offense.
Interesting.
Not sold on that part. They don't score touchdowns.
That is true. Their red zone offense is wildly inefficient.
They're not that talented and they don't score touchdowns. So he is a fantasy-friendly player. But
David Johnson's a top 10 running back. Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk have both been top 30 wide receivers. So they're producing fantasy points. There's a difference between where our disagreement is. I'm taking it from the point of like, they're usable. It's a fantasy-friendly offense in that they have four usable pieces on this team, right? And a fifth if you want to count Zane Gonzalez to the point that they struggle in the red zone, right? Zane Gonzalez has actually been a pretty good fantasy kicker so far. You're saying, like, there's no one really elite with the exception of maybe David Johnson in that offense.
I guess what I'm saying is, and so we can end it here because we're not bickering. It's just sort of like we're interpreting things differently. To me, a fantasy-friendly offense would be like, hey, Devontae Adams gets hurt. Geronimo Allison steps in. There's a role to be had when you're a Packers wide receiver with Aaron Rodgers. Whereas, like, if Christian Kirk doesn't play this week, we're not going to sit here and say, you know, something like Trent Sheffield is the guy that's really going to step up into that prominent wide receiver two role for the Cardinals and be useful. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I define fantasy friendly somewhat differently, and I guess I'd sort of argue, but whatever. Let's move on, Keith. What else you got?
Okay. This is more closer to your heart anyway, Matthew.
Yes.
Andre wants to know, can Terry McLaurin F1 for some of us here?
That's the nickname.
I know you're not. That's why I threw it out there. Can Terry McLaurin hold value all season if the Washington offense crumbles?
If it crumbles?
When? It won't crumble.
I thought the word crumble was kind of rough for you there.
But it will not crumble.
Yes.
Because it already crumbled.
It crumbled day one.
Crumbled in July.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to get on a Redskins rant again. I did that yesterday. But the answer is yes. I believe in this talent. Look, they're going to have to throw. It's going to be, at the end of the year, it's going to be a top five team in terms of total pass attempts. Like, they're just going to have to throw. And whether it's Case Keenum, whether it's Colt McCoy, whether it's Dwayne Haskins, McLaurin's going to be the number one target and get a significant target share. Now, I don't like him this week. If he plays, my expectation is he will be shadowed by Stephon Gilmore, and that is, you don't love that.
Usually bad news, yeah.
That is, so he'll make the hate list this week, McLaurin. I mean, I don't know if I can put him on the hate list. I may just ignore him just because I don't want
to
actually.
You can't put him on the hate list. There's no way.
I know.
If your son got drafted in the NFL, you'd never put him on the hate list.
That's right. That's exactly right. I feel like he'll be below expectations, unfortunately. But yes, in terms of season long, absolutely on Terry McLaurin. Now, somebody in our Dynasty League last night, was it you, Kyle, or was it you that did that?
It was me.
Kyle offered me, in our Dynasty League, Terry McLaurin for Baker Mayfield. Now understand, this is a 12-team, 25-man roster super flex league where you play two quarterbacks. Like, and I love Terry McLaurin, but why on earth would I trade a quarterback in a dynasty league like Baker Mayfield for Terry McLaurin?
I figured I'd send it out there. Yeah, no, I'd test the waters. I know you're high on McLaurin, and I know you're down on Baker. You said you'd drop him going into last week.
In a QB1, and I said in a 10-team redraft, one quarterback league.
I'm with
this
you there.
This is a two-quarterback dynasty league.
I need quarterbacks in the worst way.
Let me just say this.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to offer up more than Terry McLaurin for it.
I absolutely love the play by Kyle. Love him. Love him poking
Appreciate the bear a little bit
right there. I just like him shaking stuff up.
Yeah, why not?
Last thing I'll say, because we have only a couple.
I haven't declined it on the site yet, but consider this my official decline.
Yeah, gotcha.
So one last thing that I'll say, because we have to get off in a
second.
Thanks
for the offer, but I passed.
Get off the stream in a second.
Yeah.
But it is incredibly difficult for us to make trades amongst our colleagues.
Oh my God.
We never agree on anything. It's always like, you're going to win it, but you know, you're trying to win the trade. I'm trying to win the trade. No. It never works. But,
and by the way, so on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus today, so when I just a little insight here. So when I drive into the office to come do the podcast, we do a call where we have to prep for the show. Cause I get out of this podcast and we immediately go do the show. So anyway, we want to do, because it's 4 weeks in the season, we want to do a trade thing. And we do a league within the show of all the staff of the show, right? And so, you know, me and Daniel are in it, obviously.
Tell us about the show league. Just like when you're, as you're discussing this, tell us what the show league standings are, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I'm like 1-3 in this league.
Okay.
My team's brutal. That's what I'm saying. Like, I've lost Tyreek Hill, Hunter Henry, Damian Williams, Vance McDonald. Like, I am like, I mean, and Jamal Williams. Like, I had to pick up Jamal Williams last week just to have a warm body. And of course, play one, he gets injured. Like, I'm just decimated by injuries in this league. And so I need a running back in that league in the worst way. And so, but literally, like, I spent 20 minutes on the call talking about all my trade strategy with the entire staff of the show and the entire league. Like, I'm not going to be able to get a trade done. Like, no one will trade with me in this league, you know, because whatever, it's my show. But then in addition, like, I've just given them all sort of my tips and tricks field.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, whatever. I'm middle of the pack in points, but I'm 1-3 and I'm hurting.
So if you could, just to put a bow on this show, Matthew, if you could please tell us a little bit about the Celebrity League and how that is going so far.
So, Jim Parsons.
Yep.
And Zac Efron are 4-0. They are absolutely crushing. If we can just sort of go through the standings really quickly. I am second in this league in points. In total points, I am second in this league in terms of total points. Only Sim Sarna and Topher Grace. So Topher Grace and Sim Sarna, they have a podcast called Minor Adventures, and they're in the league. They're 3-1. They actually lead the league in points. I'm second in points, but I'm 2-2. So here are the standings. Zac Efron in first. Jim Parsons in second, Topher Grace and Sim Sarna in third, the Spicy Tomatoes field, you're in fourth, Evan Longoria is 3-1, he's in fifth, I'm 2-2, again, second in points though, I'm sixth, then Lord and Miller, by the way, Lord and Miller, their new show, Bless the Hearts, debuted this past week, we interviewed
them
last week, so check that out on demand on Fox, very funny comedy, Bless the Hearts, check that out, then John Legend, Kyle Busch, the NASCAR champion in ninth, Miles Teller at 1-3, and then still struggling there a little bit, Anthony Mackie, Rachel Lindsay, the Bachelorette, Stefania Bell, and Darius Rucker. So that's it. Just in terms of the scoreboard real quickly, this past week, I defeated Stefania head-to-head. I crushed her like a grape field. I destroyed her. And you know, not just her team, but her spirit, her soul.
That's why she's on the show today. Yeah. You literally convinced her not to come on the show today.
100%. Let's see. And so I beat her 105-83. This is a 14-team league PPR,
you crushed
by the
her.
Way.
What did I do to John Legend then?
Oh my God. John Legend.
John Legend can't even sing anymore. He lost his voice. I crushed him so bad.
Egot Schmigot.
Yeah.
Because Field Yates
won
31.
Yeah, I won an FSTA award last year. How about them apples?
The totes, right? And John Legend just 91 in that.
By the way, that league, like that was a ridiculous. I had Jordan Howard on my bench and I had Jamal Williams in place for him. So, that would have been a bludgeoning if I didn't make that stupid call.
Right. 100%. So, anyway, that's the Celebrity League in terms of who we are playing this week real quickly. We don't have to go through the whole scoreboard, but I will just tell you in week 5. So I am playing Miles Teller, who has won this league before.
Yes, he has.
Miles Teller, who's a big Eagles fan. So me versus Miles, that I have my work cut out for me. You play Anthony Mackie. Falcom himself might be the next Captain America. We will see how that plays out. But Anthony Mackie, not only in the MCU, but a one of the stars of Disney Plus, which is coming out. Of course, I'm a company man. So that's who you play. And then Stefania Bell, she's got a tough matchup too. So she plays Topher Grace and Sim Sarna, their team right there in Minor Adventures. So lots to go on there in the Celebrity League. We'll keep you updated, and I'll have an interview on Wednesday's show, probably tomorrow's show, as soon as we get that figured out, who we're going to talk to.
All righty, looking forward to that. We are back on Wednesday with Mike Clay, Starfania, and, of course, that interview right there. Anything else, Danny, before we say goodbye?
Very last thing, we had a poll. Is Matthew Berry a man of the people, coming in hot and fresh? 51% say no.
Ha!
49% say yes.
49% are right. You've got my back. That's right. And the other 51% are like, oh, yeah, I'm the people's handcuff. I'm the people's runner-up. That's fine. I totally accept this. 49% is better than I thought I would do. God bless you, 06010 Nation. God bless you. There you go. The Fantasy Show is on ESPN+. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram, at Field Yates. Follow Daniel, at Daniel Dopp, or at Something to Break on the gram. And, of course, I am at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, with the exception of the Fantasy Life app, where I am literally at Matthew Berry, and people can slide into my DMs on the Fantasy Life app. For Field, Secret Squirrel, Keith, and Thirsty Kyle, I'm Matthew. Peace out!
Turning numbers into dreams, that's what he'll do. Along with random Damien, he's in Field's group, the deepest voice you'll ever hear.